Welcome into the Hateful Hitman Podcast. Season 2 finale. Got all kinds of stuff to talk about. Let's go. Chris Strasbaugh, welcome into the Hateful Hitman Podcast. It is January 14th. We have had our national championship game. It is over. Really good game to start. And I was trying to wait to do the finale of the Hitman Podcast Season 2 after the National Championship. I know I took a couple of weeks off because of the holidays and stuff. I thought about last week, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to wait now. I've waited this long, might as well see it through. But if you watched the game last night, and I didn't watch all of it, I fell asleep, but Joe Burrow, if you didn't already know, Joe Burrow is going to be the first pick in the NFL draft. Welcome back to Ohio. He's also going to be 1.01 in most Devy leagues, two quarterback leagues, super flex leagues, dynasty leagues. Probably not such a redraft. He's so high up in leagues where there's keepers available and stuff like that. If you were lucky and fortunate enough to already have Joe Burrow on your Devy roster like I am, in our Devy league, I've already got him secured. The 101 in a couple other leagues that I have inquired about getting, the price is too steep right now. I'm not so sure it's going to come down anytime soon with the combine around the corner. You know, after all this dust settles, we got the combine and then the draft. So people are willing to move off of the 1.01, but it's going to take a handful of King Midas's silver in order to do it. So a couple of places I inquired, it's not happening. So I just moved on. I'm going to have to be content with the one share of Joe Burrow I'm going to have in our Devy League, because I picked him up about 5 weeks in to the college season, which gives me, now if you want to do math on this, that gives me Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and now Joe Burrow. I've got the last three Heisman Trophy winners on my team. I look for Kyler to have a better second year. I hope Baker has a better third year, just because he couldn't have got much worse. Hopefully the new coaching staff is able to work it out there in Cleveland. If you haven't heard, Kevin Stefanski, former offensive coordinator for the Vikings, is now the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Does it worry me about Dalvin Cook a little bit? Yes. They brought Stefanski in when they fired DeFilippo to run the ball more. So it does give me a little bit of pause on Dalvin Cook next year. And let's be realistic, Dalvin Cook tailed off the last few games of the season. He was hurt. He had a bum shoulder. Had a really good wild card round, and then was basically non-existent this week against San Francisco, which, you know, I'm going to give him a pass on that one. That's a tough defense going out there to play. They were coming in to shut him down. And basically, they shut the whole team down. So, you know, I don't think it drops his status much. If you go back and listen to an episode that I had, is Dalvin Cook a top five running back? Well, in that episode, I gave you all the reasons why he had the potential to be a top five running back. This season, he proved himself to not only be top five, but maybe so I got to admit, I really Stokesy, his performance and his production on the field this year, not only as a fan, but for fantasy and everything else. So it's nice to have that feeling where you knew a guy, you know he's got the potential and the talent, and just he's overwhelmingly good. And it's good to finally be able to see it. The thing most impressed me with LSU last night was when the game first started, Clemson had them confused. They had that 3-1-7 defense or whatever it was. They said they was running, really confused LSU. But you notice they got a little bit of a run game going. Burrow starting to move the ball, running it, you know, out of the quarterback position. Edwards-Helaire had, you know, a few little nice freed up the pass, and then they was able to hit that big touchdown, Jamar Chase. I think that kind of opened the floodgates, and it was just too overwhelming for Clemson to keep up with. The offensive style, and we knew, everybody knew going in, offense of LSU had to be slowed down by the Clemson defense. That the defense could slow them down, then Clemson's offense could win them the game. Could not do it. They started off, and then once they made the adjustments, you know, Burrow was off again. Ended up 463 yards, 5 touchdowns, 0 picks. The 110 yards on the ground by Clyde Edwards-Helaire, not to mention the 58 rushing yards by Joe Burrow, was more than enough to keep defense honest. Slow that blitz a little bit to where the passing game was more than efficient, and then after that, Clemson just got overwhelmed. And I got people coming at me saying that, you know, Trevor Lawrence is the better quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is the better NFL prospect. We don't know any of that yet, okay? Because what I've seen this year on the field with both of those two players, and let's just go down the line. Both teams, good offensive line. Both teams, multiply good at wide receiver. Both teams. As a matter of fact, Clemson has a elite premier running game where LSU's is good to above average. So all that said, what's that leave? It leaves quarterback play. Okay, and if you look at it, Clemson's defense was probably the best LSU had seen. And they was able to handle that because Joe Burrow was able to handle that. So everybody's coming at me with Trevor Lawrence as a better quarterback. I don't think so. This year, on the field, not on paper, okay? Not on paper. What we saw on the field, the proof is in the pudding. What we saw with Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow this year, Joe Burrow was better, okay? In this game, he was better. LSU was all the better team. The better team won. So, you know, this is only Trevor Lawrence's second season. He's going to be back. I don't see him leaving. I see him coming back and getting better. So when you look at this year, okay, Burrow was better. NFL prospects, we're going to see. Okay, Burrow and Ingles. Next year, Trevor Lawrence is probably going to be the first pick overall, and we're going to see where he lands. We won't know that for a while. Okay? I talked a little bit on my last episode about Brian Wickham joining me in Season 3, not only as a fantasy analyst, but also as the coordinator for the promotions for the fantasy football, the Hitman Fantasy League. But he says it best, okay? You got great talent, but landing spot dictates a lot. Okay, you can be, I'm going to use a former Knoll, and I'm going to take this with me to my grave. Peter Warwick was an elite college wide receiver. He had great quickness, great hands, not elite speed, but he was a fantastic football player, three-star athlete, three-sport athlete in high school. Okay, went to the Bengals, killed his career. There was no line. There was no passing game. Okay, it killed his career. Landing spot dictates a lot. If they draft Joe Burrow, the Bengals are going to have to do a better job than what they've done recently. Okay, and they're going to have to put a better product on the field than what they did this year. Or Burrow is just going to be another one of those guys that you can add to the list of, oh boy, what could have been if he would have went anywhere else. Do I want to see him go to Cincinnati? No, I do not. I want to see them trade out of that spot and somebody else come up and get him. And I'm not knocking on the Bengals. I'm not knocking the Bengals, okay? But what have we seen from Cincinnati? Okay, you got Ken Anderson, Boomer Esiason, and then a laundry list of quarterbacks that were good, not great, and then you get to Dalton, who was good, not great. Average at best. Okay, so do we have a quarterback coming into Cincinnati now that is able to deal with the imperfections of that organization? Okay, Lamar Jackson, highly, highly productive in college. Heisman Trophy winner, okay? Just torched every program he played in college. What do you do? He goes to Baltimore. They built the system around him. And look at the season he had. Tennessee had the blueprint to beat them, though, because what did they do? They kept him off the field. Derrick Henry gets 200 yards on the ground. Lamar Jackson don't get to play. That was an easy blueprint to figure out there. We keep the ball, keep him cold on the sidelines. We got a chance to be in this thing. And it worked. It could work for him again this week for Tennessee. But what I'm getting at is the Ravens built the program around Lamar Jackson. Can the Bengals do that for Joe Burrow? Won't be another casualty of the Cincinnati curse where, you know, these quarterbacks just haven't been great. Everybody, Jeff Blake this, Jeff Blake that. Jeff Blake was not a fantastic quarterback. He was athletic, and he was able to move around and make some things happen. But that was it. I mean, he shouldn't have had to dance and move and run and do all that stuff because his line was no good. Akili Smith, I can use him as an example. I've actually used him as an example for years. A one-year starter at quarterback in college, they took him high in the draft, and he was a bust. I think guys need 2 or 3 years playing time in college. Okay, Burrow, he had him at OSU. Got some experience there. Went to LSU, big-time SEC program. Has a decent junior year. Obviously a historic senior year. Okay, but he's got some seasoning to where he should be able to transcend into the NFL and be a good player. If Bengals we'll also have to wait and see these guys that played in this game last night, if any of them declare. As of right now, I haven't heard any big names declaring from last night's game or deciding to come back to college. It's Chuba Hubbard has elected to stay in school and come back, which I think is fantastic for him. It's fantastic for college football. It gives him another year to learn and get some experience before he does go pro in 2021. A lot of these guys could leave, and it's going to make a very stacked wide receiver running back cluster for NFL teams and for fantasy teams. There's been serious people already elect to go to the NFL. So definitely looking forward to seeing who all is there, who all is invited to the combine. Pro days, things of that nature are all going to be happening. So there's really no off season, okay? I mean, college football's over. The NFL's got 2 more weeks, if you count the Pro Bowl 3, which I don't. But the NFL's got 2 more weeks, and then we're going to be out of football, but there's plenty of stuff to do. Okay, we got National Signing Day in early February for college. That's an exciting time. After that is usually when we get together and have our Devy draft gets a chance to these guys who have committed and have already, you know, signed their national letter of intent, and they're going to these colleges. It gives you an idea who they're going to go. Then we have our Devy draft. So there's no off season. At least there isn't for me. I'm in dynasty leagues and multiple fantasy leagues where we just keep going. So if you follow the NFL, okay, yeah, it's a sad time because it's like, 17 weeks of football is over already. Yeah, it kind of is. But if you think about it, okay, you got National Signing Day. Then you got spring games. Okay, and you also filter in the combine, the draft. So you do have a few months. There's a couple of months that's really kind of dull and boring. June, terrible. July's a little rough. But once you get through June and July, you know, August comes around, and then it's firing back up again. So there's things to look forward to. And we are very excited to be building our college league. We filled it, 10 teams. Took us a while to get the personnel. We wanted to make sure that we had, you know, 10 good owners and building this thing. So, you know, after we start moving into the next process, so now we've got our team, we got our league filled. Now we're moving into rules, scoring, things of that nature. So, I mean, there's stuff to do on our end. And if you're in Dynasty League, you know, you don't have to be the commissioner of a Dynasty League to keep your league relevant in the off season, okay? Because most leagues, there's trading allowed, and draft picks, and just conversation about who's going to come out, who's going where. And I'll give you a little sneak peek of the season 3 premiere, which will come out shortly before the NFL draft. Brian Wickham, who is now, like I said before, the fantasy analyst for Hitman Fantasy Productions, will be on, and he will have pre-draft landing spots, and we're going to talk a little bit of potential for where these guys are going to go pre-draft, and then we're going to have a post-draft episode to see, you know, where these guys are at, where they've landed, and, you know, talk a little bit of that. So I'll keep you in the loop, and I'll keep the hoops burning throughout the offseason here. One college player last night I want to talk about, and he did not get picked up. I gave everybody in our Ivy League a couple of months to pick up guys, if you still had moves left in the Ivy League, to pick up guys. And I said, when toe meets leather of the national championship, it's locked down. No more pickups. There was a guy that slipped. There was a guy that didn't get picked up. And it blew my mind. I was out of moves. You only get 5 in our league. And I was out of moves a long time ago. But if you trade somebody, then if you trade a Devy prospect and it frees up a Devy spot, then you can pick up somebody, and it doesn't, you know, that's one of the rules, you can pick somebody up. So I made a move, traded a couple of Devy assets, freed me up a spot, and I had my choice of 2 guys to pick up. Okay, and the one guy I picked up, I'm not mad about, but the other guy that I wanted to pick up didn't get picked up, so he's a hot commodity going into our Devy draft, and I'm hoping that he's there. I'm not going to give his name away, but I'm hoping that he's there for our Devy. When I pick, I'll take him in the first round if he's available. So I'm really shocked that some of these players and our owners and our Devy league didn't make some more moves towards the end and pick up some of these higher names. But apparently they're ready to take what they've got. Pushing gears to the NFL, I got 3 booms, 3 busts for the entire NFL season for you. That are the hit list. 3 guys that really surprised me. 3 guys that totally let me down. I'm going to start with the downside first. And obviously number 1 is Baker Mayfield. And on this show, on this podcast, throughout the season, I had backed Baker Mayfield, and I was kind of, you know, I kept giving him support and thought, well, they just need some time to gel and some time to gel, and he just didn't look good the whole entire time. So, out goes Freddie Kitchens, in comes Kevin Stefanski. Hopefully, you know, they can remedy that, bring a guy in to work with Mayfield, and get him back on track, because, you know, I think he does have a lot of talent, you know, and can play at this level. Okay, he's not another not another Manziel who was a bust, you know, or a Tim Couch, who all these guys were just really big Cleveland prospects, and it didn't work out. So that being said, bring in a new coaching system, and we'll see what they do with Baker Mayfield, because they got all the talent in the world on the offensive side of the ball and defensive side. You know, there's no way they should have had the record that they did, and it's not a surprise that Freddie Kitchens. The second guy on my list is David Johnson, and I can't say it's a surprise. Just the injuries and the things of that nature, you know, but game script, I think, may have played a big role. I just don't think he fit what they were wanting to do in Arizona, and which is crazy to me because of his pass-catching ability. You would have thought that he would have been the number one or at least the number two read for a dump-off when Kyler Murray got in trouble and scrambled looking for somebody. You'd have thought that they would have found a way to make him relevant, you know, throughout the season. But big-time down year for him, and I know one guy who's in a couple of leagues with is Mike Adamson. He took a big chance in the Hitman League, and when he drafted him, I said, man, can you imagine if both of these guys hit like they're, you know, projected to? Can you imagine the kind of season you're going to have? Well, unfortunately, they didn't, and Mr. Adamson took a little bit of a hit. I think he finished 7th out of 10, and it was his first year in the league. So, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was an expansion league. He took over an expansion team, and he rolled with it. But can you imagine if both those guys would have hit for him? He had David Johnson and Todd Gurley, and holy crap. I mean, look at his roster, and you're like, man, if these guys hit, he's going to have a And number three, and there's several that I choose from, okay? I mean, OBJ would be the obvious one because of the letdown that he had in Cleveland, but I've beat on Cleveland enough with Baker Mayfield, but I'm going to go with Brandon Cooks, okay? And it's like he just never got it right this year, and, I mean, he's always a little banged up. We're going to expect that, okay? But Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and even Gerald Everett, you know, kind of manned, they held down the receiving core there, and Brandon Cooks wasn't really, you know, he wasn't really a factor where you see you're putting your lineup in and you look across and you see the guy you're playing and he's got Brandon Cooks. A couple of years ago, you're like, oh man, that makes me nervous. And never at one point this year did I look across and see I'm playing Brandon Cooks and think, okay, he's going to sting me. That never hit my thinking at all. Every time I've seen Brandon Cooks in the other side, I'm like, okay, well, I don't really, you know, if he booms, he's going to get one play. So I never really looked at it and thought, okay, this guy's, now he scares me. He doesn't scare me anymore like he used to. Switching to the other side, the three guys that boomed for me, and I'm going to start with the homer pick, and you're going to say, holy crap, that's shocking. But I'm going to start with the homer pick a little bit. And it's not so much, I mean, he had a great season, but I'm looking for what he may do next season. And that's Michael Gallup, wide receiver there in Dallas. Okay, going into his third year now, okay, I've seen some rumble where they may let Cooper walk, and he may be the wide receiver one in Dallas next year. He had over 1,000 yards, okay, a quiet 1,000-yard season, and was reliable. Now, look, everybody drops an occasional pass. Okay, everybody's going to drop an occasional pass. I don't care who you are. Jerry Rice didn't catch them all. But, you know, he has had a couple of drops in key moments that are, you know, more documented than the ones he dropped when it was, you know, when they're up 15 points. But the potential for him going into next year, building off of this 1,000-yard season he had this year, is really exciting to me. You got a new coach coming in. You got a breath of fresh air coming in. You know, I've said on Twitter, I'm not sure if there's a big-time change between Garrett and Mike McCarthy as far as, you know, what you're going to get. But I'm open for the change. As a lifelong Cowboy fan, I'm hoping for a better output than 7-9 or an 8-8 season. Because once again, with that roster and that lineup, and Jerry Jones is right, there's no way they should be like that. That record should not be that. You're looking 10, 11, 12 win team with what they've got on paper. Okay, because what they're putting on the field isn't what they have on paper. Something's got to give, and it was Jason Garrett. I love the potential of Gallup next year building off of this 1,000-yard season. Very surprised to me. I had Gallup in several leagues, and I played him about every week because, four or five catches and 60 or 70 yards, you know, and a flex play as a wide receiver, you'll take that, okay? And then a couple of games where he gets a touchdown or adds in a 100-yard game, I like Gallup going into next season, building off what he did this year. And obviously, number two, I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson. I still kick myself because I drafted him in the Devy League startup. I had him and Baker both last year when we started up the Devy League. And I traded him in the offseason last year. And I regret that now. Okay, I had no idea we was going to see this kind of progression from him just, you know, for a second year in. But like I said earlier, they drafted him. They're going to build the team around him. They're going to scheme the plays around him, and he is going to soar. Okay, I posted on Twitter the other day. Got a little bit of kickback, but I said, I just don't see longevity in his game. And what I meant by that was, because one guy said, well, he had so many thousand yards and 30 touchdowns or whatever. What I meant by that was I don't see him play until he's Tom Brady's age, because if he keeps running like this, okay, he's going to get hurt over and over again, and his career is going to get cut short. It's part of his game. I get that. But as he gets older, he's not going to be able to do that, okay, because he's not always going to be the fastest guy on the field. He may be for the next 5 or 6 years. But after that, okay, I'm 44, and stuff don't move like it used to. And I'm sure it's the same with everybody else. Okay, just because he's a freak athlete now, he's going to lose stuff over time. He's going to have to rely on his arm and his mind other than his running ability. And time is undefeated, and it catches up with us. I wasn't trying to say that he'll be out of the league in 5 years. What I'm saying is if he keeps playing like that and in running, he's going to get hit, he's going to get banged up, and he's going to get hurt. And, you know, it only takes up one or two shots, one or two serious injuries, and you're out of the league. That's just the way it goes. I wasn't trying to knock on Lamar Jackson because I love what he done this year. I love what he did for the game, for fantasy, for everything. But the longevity of him isn't a Tom Brady because he isn't the same style of quarterback. And, you know, a couple big hits, you know, and it could be it for him. So he's going to have to, as he gets older, learn to play the game with his arm and his mind as opposed to his running ability, because he will get slower. It's just a fact of life. I already touched on Dalvin Cook, how he ended up being a top two or three running back for the league, so I'm not going to put him in my other person. The other guy I want to talk about is Chris Godwin. Tampa Bay wide receiver, fantastic season, you know, Jameis Winston, 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 30 picks. We all know about that. Okay, but Godwin benefited from it. Okay, Godwin benefited from Mike Evans being either double-teamed, dinged up, you know, just not feeling it for that game or whatever. Godwin feasted pretty much season-long until he got hurt there at the end of the year. A great season. And if you go back to previous episodes when I talked to people, I said, look out for Godwin, because he's got the potential and he's got what it takes to be really good in this league. And he proved it. Quarterback to get him the ball, and he can make himself a very good career in the National Football League. Now, that being said, is Winston coming back? I don't know. It's another one of these stories we're going to have to follow real closely as we go into the offseason. You know, Arians has been as patient with him as just about anything. But this could be what we see from Jameis. Okay, he even said, he goes, if you take away the picks, I'm balling. Look at my numbers. 5,000, 30 touchdowns. I'm balling. Yeah, you're balling. Guess what? If you cut those interceptions in half, okay, that's 15. You keep the ball longer, okay? Maybe 15 of those picks turns into 5 or 6 more touchdown drives, and you get 5 or 6 more touchdown passes out of that. You win a couple more games, you're playoff relevant. Okay, Jameis Winston was the reason for the Bucs' success and their demise all at the same time. So is he going to be back? I don't know. Definitely interested to see how that whole works out. It was a contract year for him. He had highs. He had a lot of lows. The pick six that ended the season for him was terrible. It was something just terrible to take into the offseason with him. But he's a bounce back guy. He was very confident. And that's one of the things that I'm not a big Winston fan, but if I was to admire one thing about him at Florida State, he didn't let anything bother him. You know, he shrugged it all off. He went out there and played and, you know, won a national championship for FSU. So, I mean, he's a very flamboyant guy, and he's a very, very confident, and he's going to have to be. Is it going to be in Tampa? Time will tell. It's NFL Division Championship Week this week. It is also Championship Week in the R&R Fantasy League, and yours truly, the Hateful Hitman, has made it to a fantasy championship. Okay, this is the 12-team league where you play 17 weeks and you draft the playoffs. I have worked my way through the wild card, worked my way through the divisional semifinals, and I'm in the finals. I'm in the championship round this week. This is the only championship appearance I've had in any NFL league. Didn't win a college championship, but I would like to have, you know, gotten a little farther in some of my fantasy leagues, but I'm in a championship. So, got 4 teams to choose from. Myself and one other guy are going to go and draft head-to-head, and we're going to do this. And one of us is going to take home a fantasy championship by the time Sunday evening is over with. So, I'm looking forward to that. This is it's my 3rd year in the league. It's my 2nd playoff appearance in 3 years. I got beat in the first round last year. I'm in the championship this year, so definitely a better run. So what's that mean? It means I got to look at these 4 teams that are still left, and I got to figure out, first of all, I got to figure out where I'm choosing 1 or 2 and who's going to go, who's going to be left, and it's going to be a chess match as we go down and probably say, okay, he took him, I'm taking him. I took him, he's taking him. Never done this before. First time I've ever made it this far in a league like this, so looking forward to it. It's very stressful because in the semifinals I was going against Aaron Rodgers, and I had Deshaun Watson, excuse me, as my quarterback. And I thought we had a decent day. He had a decent day. Travis Kelce was my tight end, and between Watson and Kelce, that won me the day. Aaron Rodgers had a good game, but it was just a little bit too much for the other guy to come back and beat me. So I was sweating it, though, because, you know, my team was pretty much done. I had DK Metcalf, and he had Aaron Rodgers, and I'm like, if Aaron Rodgers throws 4 or 5 touchdowns, whew, that could happen. So, but it was, I dodged a bullet, and I won pretty handily. I mean, it wasn't a blowout by any means, but won a pretty good game and looking forward to the championship. So what we got? We got San Fran and we got Green Bay in San Francisco. We've got Tennessee and Kansas City in Kansas City. It's another blueprint. The blueprint's the same. Only the names have changed for Tennessee to make it to the Super Bowl. Okay? Run the ball. Control line of scrimmage. Control time of possession. Turn those yardages into touchdowns. Keep Mahomes on the bench, and you got a shot. If you can't run the ball and you have to pass and it's on Tannehill, they may struggle, and they may get run out again. For Kansas City, it's just more of the same. That defense showed up. That defense was really good last week. Okay, it's gotten progressively better as the season has went on. So, if that defense can slow Derrick Henry down, and it hasn't happened. I mean, he's went up against some serious defenses here the last couple of weeks of the season and in the playoffs, and he's just rolling over people. He's probably a little tired, probably a little dinged up, even for him being a mountain of a man. Does he have one more run in him? If they can run the ball and control time, that's a blueprint for beating Kansas City. It can happen. Beat him earlier in the season, now that I think about it. NFC, we've got San Francisco, Green Bay in San Francisco. That San Francisco defense is pretty good. They're quick. They fly all over the place. They're everywhere. Anchored in the secondary by Richard Sherman, who's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. But they're playing good. They're playing good. Jimmy Garoppolo is playing okay. That three-headed monster is more of a two-headed monster with Coleman and Mozart. I expect a bigger game from Kittle this week. He kind of was a no-show last week. But this game's a little tougher for me to call because you're looking at Aaron Rodgers. This guy's a Hall of Famer already. Okay, going up against a team that's young and hungry. But you got the grizzled veteran who's been there and done that. I hate both teams. As a Cowboys fan, I absolutely hate both teams. Hate Green Bay. Not a big Aaron Rodgers fan. Hate San Francisco. Hate Joe Montana. Hate the catch. Hate all of it. But I've got to put some stock in this game because there's fantasy implications. So somebody's going to have to take George Kittle. One of us is going to get Kittle. One of us is going to get Kelsey. Okay? So there's implications here. I'm going to have to root for somebody. Who's it going to be? I don't know. I won't know who I'm rooting for until after I draft my team. That's going to dictate who I root for in the NFC and AFC championship games is what players I've got and what skin I got in the games here and what's going to win me a fantasy championship at the same time. I'm telling you what. If you're able to get into a league where you do draft in the playoffs, it makes the playoffs more relevant. It's more fun. You pay attention because you've got skin in the game. Okay, you're like, oh, like the wild card round. I had Derrick Henry. Had Derrick Henry and DK Metcalf. Those two guys got me into the semifinals. So I tried to get Derrick Henry this past week. He didn't fall back to me. He did it again. Now, do I take a chance, and if he's there, do I try it one more time? A lot of questions to be answered between now and draft time, which the draft is still TBD. I do not know the draft time or date yet, so I'll keep you guys posted on the Hitman Fantasy Football page on Twitter at Hateful Hitman and on the Facebook page, the Hateful Hitman Fantasy Football Podcast. That's going to about do it for the Season 3 finale. If you follow me on Twitter, pay attention because there's going to be stuff I'm going to be talking about throughout the course of the offseason. If you don't follow me on Twitter, you should follow me on Twitter. Follow Brian Wickham on Twitter, at BWick50. If you don't have a Twitter, make one. There is loads and loads of fantasy knowledge out there. People just giving you their opinions, putting it on paper, putting it on spreadsheets, putting it on lists. And just giving you their opinions. And you can take that and you can say, hey, you know what? I like A.J. Brown going forward next year. And this guy here may like A.J. Brown. But the guy right beside him under the same page may not like A.J. Brown. And he may give you a reason why. Twitter is a plethora of football knowledge from all different kinds of resources. So check it out. That would be very well of you. Find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. That'll do it. Season 3 will kick off a whole new beginning, new podcast studio, new formats, new episodes, all kinds of stuff. thank you for listening. It's been a very good season. I look forward to season 3. My name is Chris Doswell. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hate Man. Find the show on Podbean, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Pods, Podcast Addict. Anywhere you find podcasts, you can find me. Have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the NFC and AFC Divisional Championships. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Hope you enjoyed the National Championship last night. Have a great week. See you next season, season 3, on the Hateful Hitman Podcast.